It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Monica Lovell. Miss Neva Pite is over there running the iPad. Our guest for today is our brother in Christ, Mr. Rick Spain. How are you doing today, sir?
Good morning. I think I'm doing pretty good. I've been up a while.
Right on. Well, yeah. You made it here. You got your little tablet there with you, little notebook.
Yeah, where I write my thoughts backwards.
It's okay. It's okay if you write them backwards as long as you get them out there.
Yeah, so let me explain that. So I've always got a notebook, so I take my, you know, sermon notes from the preacher or whoever I'm listening to. I still take notes. You know, and so a lot of people have gotten out of that habit, and I'm on this side thought, get in the habit of taking notes.
I'm working on that.
It's a good habit because you think you'll remember what someone says, but if you don't write it down, a couple hours later, you'll be thinking, what was that good thought that I just had? And so then years ago, the Lord told me to write the thoughts he gives me down. And it came about at one point in my life. He gave me this incredible revelation. It was a life-altering revelation. Well, I don't know if it was a couple hours later or the next day. I don't remember. I couldn't remember what he had told me. And I said, Lord, would you please remind me? And he did. But he said this, he says, write it down. And so in the front of my book, I go with the sermon notes. Well, in the back of my book, I do my thoughts from the Lord. And that's what I share with you guys a lot. What the Lord shows me, I write it down, I share it with you. So what I do is I start the back page. And if it goes on to the next page, well, I just turn to the next page from the back of the book. And so some people will pick up my notebook and try to read these thoughts, and they'll think, you know, it doesn't make sense because you go the normal way. Well, with those thoughts, I go backwards. That's what that means, Monica.
Well, you always bring good stuff, so I'm ready.
Yeah.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can now send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to our text line, 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts. Yay! And we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Y'all, I'm so excited. I've been speaking that in faith for a minute now. And here it is. I'm so happy. We'll get it posted to our app shortly after the program has ended. And today our sponsor is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work with Christian values, y'all.
That says it all right there.
Right?
Yeah.
I covered it all, Mr. Rick. Would you pray to start?
Well,
out,
no,
sir?
I want to add to what you're saying, okay, because the Lord dropped this in my heart this morning. And I'm talking to the people out there listening. And if you know somebody that usually listens and they're not listening now, please share this with them, because what I would like for you to do, what the Lord would like for you to do, is to give us a short thought on how this program has ministered to your life. I don't care if you think it's insignificant. It's not. It's very significant. And we need people to hear that they are receiving encouragement, because a lot of times we get isolated and we don't see that. So I want to encourage you to just post a short thought, a short message, how this program has touched your life. And we all would appreciate that. We need to hear also. We need to know. So anyway, I'm going to open up prayer. Father, we love you and bless you. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. Thank you that you always provide. I thank you, Lord God, that even in the most difficult situations, Lord God, that you never leave us, you never forsake us in our good times, our bad times, when we do right, when we make mistakes, Lord God, you're always there. Thank you, thank you. Father, I just pray that this, what you dropped in my heart, Lord God, would be something that would touch their hearts. Lord God, you are a life changer. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, did you want to say something?
I really like your title this morning. Boy, howdy.
Yeah.
The truth hurts sometimes.
Sometimes. Sometimes. My scripture text this morning is John 17:17. And so I like those. I'm a numbers person. And when you got two numbers that are the same, it's easier to remember. So just remember John and 17:17. And Jesus is talking. He's praying to the Father. And he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Truth. You know, and so this is something that is always confrontational. Truth is always confrontational in this world. And the reason being is because this world does not operate in God's truth. Now, at the foundation level, it has to, because this is what makes the earth spin. It makes, you know, the seasons, everything that works in this world works by God's truth, because he established it in the beginning. So I want you to remember this thought. Everything God does, he does it by law. Everything. Everything that he does. And so if we don't understand that, then we miss the character of God. And this is something I've been on for quite a while here, that the Lord has just been pushing me in my heart to share with people about his character. Because so many people are misidentifying or misappropriating who he is, because they don't understand who he is, his character. And so I love the way John says it. God is love. God is love. And so if you want to paint a picture of God, it isn't a person sitting on a throne with a baseball bat waiting for you to mess up. It is a being that is greater than all, creator of all things, that has a special place in his heart just for you. You know, I've heard preachers say this, that if God has a refrigerator in heaven, your picture's on it.
Amen.
I mean, we can say this lightly, but I'm telling you, that's how much God cares for you. He's got a picture of you. You're on his thought every moment of every day. And so understanding the character of God, when you understand this, that everything works by law, then you see that it's not necessarily God's decisions whether your life turns out good or whether it turns out bad. It's based upon how he set up the system. Now, thank God that your picture's on his refrigerator, so to speak. because he not only understands that what you're doing or what you're going through is coming about because of the laws that rule, but there's something else about him. Remember, he's love. God is love. And because he's love, he sees when you're going through the difficult situations. And you may think that, well, he's not doing anything for me. That, well, let me tell you this, that you may not see it, but he is doing. Mm-hmm. He is doing. We got Monica's grandson in with us, Ethan, and I was talking to him before the program. And, you know, so much of the time we focus on, I'll just tell you a little story. So the other day, I'm busy all the time. So busy sometimes I forget that I'm supposed to be here the third Thursday of every month. It's happened a few times. Yeah. But anyway, I had a full schedule. So I'm going to Oklahoma City. I've got about 4 stops I've got to make. I've got a 16-foot trailer and a 8-foot pickup bed. And I know when I leave the city, it's going to be full. And sure enough, it was. Had a full load. And so I'm coming back to town, and my guys, they like to shut down about 4 o'clock. They've gotten to where they want to work 8 hours a day. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever do that, Neva. You think you will? No. It just didn't. It isn't in our DNA. But anyway, they shut down about 4 o'clock, and so I'm getting in town just about 4, and I'm thinking, I hope I get there before they leave because I am loaded down. And so sure enough, I'm pulling and turning to where my shop is, and here the guys are coming, fixing to turn on Main Street. And so I wave at them, tell them to come back. And so I've got one little building, and then I got my big shop building. And so I had a load on that 16-foot trailer, and I thought, well, we'll put it in the little building. And so back up over there, and we get it all unloaded. And so then I got all the stuff in the back. I'm packed, even in my cab. I mean, I've got one of those crew cab, you know, and it's just, I'm just packed. And so I go and I pull in the yard, and I'm going to back up to the overhead door. And you know, I'm telling you, the day was going like a dream. It was just everything clicking, and just is a good day. I was feeling good, you know, just I really made some accomplishments today, Monica. So I pull up there, and I'm going to back up to the overhead door, and I forgot. I have a trailer on the back of my pickup. Well, where I'm looking out, you can't see the trailer is slowly going towards my rear fender. But then I remembered, oh, I got a trailer. And I thought I stopped just in time. And so went over and unloaded the trailer so I could unload my pickup. Nope. I got a little cut about 2 inches on my fender where that trailer hit it. I can't overemphasize how good I was feeling. It was a great day. Everything was just wonderful, you know. And so, but that one deal right there, that one circumstance, situation, that told me that my day wasn't good. And, you know, it's in. And of course, I talk to you guys about this stuff, so I process this stuff in my brain, and I'm thinking, you know, I had a great day in this one thing. Oh, I hate it. I still do. Man, I got a little cut on my fender now, and I'm probably not going to get it fixed because I'm too busy. But anyway, you know, it's what we allow to dictate how our life is. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And so we look at that and say, okay, what is truth? What is truth? What's truth to you, Ethan? He's sitting right here. He shrugs his shoulder. That's what a 16-year-old does until he feels like his rights are being violated, and then he can tell the truth. But you know, I could say that, Ethan, because I was a 16-year-old too, and I understand. Yeah. So, and that's what's interesting, because we define truth as to how it affects us. And so, you know, I wrote this thought down. We argue about the act, the vocal proclamation, the standards, the objections. The real argument is in what it produces. Right is proven by what it produces, and vice versa. What that means, wrong is proven by what it produces. And so we see in our world today, I was visiting with a feller yesterday. He's over 80 years old. I've known him for a lot of years, but I hadn't seen him in a long time. And I don't do this much, but I stopped and we went into his little shop area and just sat down and visited for a while. And I asked him a question. I said, what do you think about what's going on in our world? He says, well, it's a mess. It's a mess. You know, and so I start getting into it because, you know, I keep up to current events probably more than I need to. But, you know, if we want to know about current events, just holler at Rick Spain. Yeah, and we'll talk about it. But, you know, I'm talking to him, and I said, what do you think about it? He says, well, I don't think about it too much. I really don't get into it, you know, and I'm not saying this as an example, but I'm saying this as a common practice. And so what happens is we see things that are outside of our immediate control, and so we just chalk it up to good and bad. And then we develop our truth based upon that, not upon what we produce. Remember that right is proven by what it produces. And so it's not proven by what we produce, but it's proven by what we think. And so when we get it in our head and we say, well, you know, I think this is right. I think this is truth. This is my truth. And so then we get into those philosophical, psychosemantics about, you know, this is my truth. You know, and so my truth might be different than your truth, but this is my truth. And so what we got to do is we got to look at the foundational level. Am I making this understandable? Look at the foundational level, because, see, that's where God is. Remember, God started everything. He started everything, and you know what he said when it was all finished? He said, this is very good. You know, there's a lot of times we do things in life, and we think, we might do a project or help somebody out. And you know, we're just doing this part of our day. And so we did our good deeds for the day. But then there's sometimes when there's something special. And we set aside our agenda. We don't look at our bank account. We see somebody in need. We go and help them. And you know what that is? That's very good. That's very good. That's what God said. He set aside his whole agenda to focus on this one thing, creation. And you have to understand, why did he create? Did he create for himself? I mean, does he need the amenities of this world? No. He created it for you and me. He said, this is very good. And so what we do is we get this attitude that, or really it's an attitude, that we see a truth and we proclaim it as our truth. The problem is it gets stuck in our head and it isn't transported through our life. So I wrote this thought down really short. It's easy to defend right. Man, I'm seeing all the arguments and the two main deals right here, and politically incorrect, whatever. Rick Spain's going to say it. You know, we've got the abortion issue, and we've got the same-sex attraction marriage type deal that they're trying to push through the government now. If you don't know that they're trying to push it through. So am I against people that have had an abortion? Absolutely not. And is God against you? No, he's not. God is for you. Am I against a person that is attracted to the same sex? No, I'm not. These things I don't understand, but I'm not against it. I am bound by God's truth that when God said, when I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Even before you were born. When a child is conceived, it is a human being. It's alive. And if you got somebody trying to bring another truth to you, you got to examine that. You got to measure it. You know, because we need to understand when we're talking about truth that we're not talking about the church up against the world. Gosh, I want you to get this one. We're not talking about the church compared to the world. Because I want you to understand something, that the problem is not in the world. That's why we're talking about this morning. Zechariah 7. Can you get Zechariah 7 for me? It's over here. It's right before Malachi. So right Matthew and then Malachi. And then Zechariah's before that. Yeah, sorry. I didn't have it pulled up. I should have. 7, 9, and 10. 7, 9, and 10. I actually got it written down here. Yeah. Oh, I was going to let Monica read it. Yeah, go ahead and read it, Monica. That's all right. I got it. I've got it written down.
Bible closed.
That's okay. So this is what it says. Thus has the Lord of hosts said, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion each to his brother. And do not oppress the widow or the orphan, the stranger or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. This is what the Lord is requiring of us. This is what he's asking of us. You know, when I see the church make an expression with their voice, but are we making an expression with their life? There should be a marked difference between God's people and the people of the world. If there is no difference, a person must question what God he truly serves. And so this is where the problem is, folks. The church is not looking much different than the world. Yeah, when we get to church, I mean, we put on our faces and get her cross our T's and dot our I's, and you know, we know how to raise our hands or say amen when we need to, and we know the songs, you know, and they're really good songs, and you know, we're doing our part. we get our 30, 45 minute sermon, and then you know what happens? We're set for the week. We're set for the week. Now, you're a 16-year-old boy. Excuse me, I'm going to talk to Ethan for a second. You're a 16-year-old boy. So when you get up in the morning, do you generally skip breakfast? Do you? You're like me. That's the way I am, too. But do you skip lunch? It depends. Do you want to skip lunch? Not really. Yeah. And then it's kind of funny, but they're around 6 o'clock, somewhere around there. You're thinking you got to eat again, don't you? Yeah. That's kind of interesting because, you know, that's what we do with church. We think, well, we've done our duty. We got our church service in, and so that's our spiritual food for the week. You know, I'm telling you, if Ethan only survived on one meal a week, one thing, he would not be a happy camper. The other thing is he wouldn't be in this earth very long. And we look at that on the spiritual side, you guys. You know, we need this stuff every day. Every day. And I realize I'm preaching to the choir a lot. People that listen to this program, they're dedicated. Now, there's some that maybe this is hitting you where it hurts. Well, you know what? It's hitting me where it hurts. And if it doesn't, then we're not being challenged. And see, that's where the key is. The key is we are generally going to operate in our potential to the level of the challenge that we face. What does that mean? What's that mean, Rick? What it means is you are only going to do as much as what you have to do. And so when you get challenged, what do? You either step up to the challenge or you go crawl in bed and throw the covers over your head. You know, one or the other. I mean, you might try to ignore it. That doesn't work, folks. But, you know, that's what I'm talking about here. We need this. We need God's word every day. This is our truth. So we might get, I mean, there's a lot of good pastors out there. Great pastors. But what they've done with church now is they're taking out Wednesday night, Sunday night, taking out our prayer meetings. You know, all these things that were supplements to help the body to grow have been removed. Now, do I agree with this? No, I don't. I think we need, I don't say let's go back to the way we used to do it, but I am saying we need the church to be alive and active. You know, and I've heard many church leaders make this argument because I've talked to church leaders about it. And this is the argument they come up with, is that we don't get the participation. You know what? That's the way it's been since the beginning of time. The participation level is not what we should make our determinations upon. Are you getting participation at all? See, I've been teaching from the Bible for decades, and I've seen big classes. And there was one Sunday morning I came, and there was one lady that showed up to our Sunday school. One lady. I was talking to her, and I said, her name was Olive. I said, Olive, you don't have to stay here. It's just me and you. You don't have to be here. And she looked at me straight in the eyes, and she says, Rick, I want to be here. That's the key. We're not looking for the people that don't want to be here. We're looking for the people that do. You know, and are we that person? In Isaiah chapter, what is it, chapter 1 or chapter 7? I can't remember. I think it's chapter 7. Isaiah is in the presence of God at the throne. And, I mean, he's just slobbering all over himself. I'm in the presence of God, you know, and so when he regains his composure and he's encouraged, the Lord makes comment, whom shall I send? There's problems in this world. Who is it that I can send? And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Now, when we're talking about putting your life in this category, well, the first thing we're going to think, well, you know what, I'm not talented. I can't, you know, and we generally compare ourselves to another person that's generally pretty talented, and we think, well, I can't do that. Well, nobody asked you to do what that other person is doing. Because I want you to understand, God put a gift in you that nobody else has. And the same question, who am I going to send? So, you know, to bring all this together, you guys, we need what God has for us every day. There's times when I spend time with the Lord and it's like I'm just going through the motions, you know. I mean, my heart's in it, my mind's in it, but it just doesn't seem like anything happens. You know, and is that a waste? Absolutely not. Because there's other times where, man, I'm like Isaiah, I'm in the presence of God. You know, and that's once you experience that, God's like a drug. Once you experience his presence, you are looking for it again and again. There's nothing that can feel like his presence does. Amen. What do we got going on here, Monica?
Is now a good time for some prayer requests?
Yeah.